The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue on in our studies this evening in Genesis 30, where we'll pick up the exegesis of verses 37 through 43. We'll do these as a block. All right, whatever else is going on in our lives right now is not the time to be concerned with these things. Now is the time to, once again, give our undivided attention to the teaching at hand this evening, giving God your complete devotion, and we're able to do so by being in fellowship, employing rebound if necessary, so that we can have the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth once again this evening. So with that in mind, if you need to, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us to the truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for anyone who has given the reading of the Scriptures any time in their life, one thing they should come to recognize is that it doesn't gloss over things. It simply speaks the truth in its recording of history or whatever, revealing people, things of this nature as a matter of fact. And as it comes down to Jacob's uncle Laban, who is a believer, it doesn't even come close to painting a pretty picture in regards to this guy. As a believer, he was a monetary reversionist. And as such, greed drove him, motivated him. He was deceitful. He would sell his own daughters for a nickel, or 7 years anyway of labor, 14. He was a control freak, always wanted to manipulate, and if you will, he employed a power grid in regards to those around him, always wanting to keep people under his thumb, under his check. And because he was of such nature, he himself obviously could not be trusted in regards to his business dealings. And that influenced him in regards to his relationship with others, as he, in like, would not trust others. And as we saw in regards to Jacob's proposal, after Laban offers him to go into business with him and he declines the offer and proposes a business for himself, while he obviously accepted the agreement, one thing Laban did have, and that was an eye for a good thing, and his nephew Jacob was a good thing in regards to his prosperity in life. He accepted terms, and Jacob, in the terms, sets forth quite an unbelievable proposition. One to a person who lives their life betting on the odds. Things have to be in their favor because they're constantly under the energy of the flesh. They're trying to figure everything out on their own. They do not look to God for direction and guidance and faith rest and things of this nature. He hears this offer in regards to Jacob that for the business proposition that he would, out of a flock of solid colored sheep and goats, would accept only those that were variegated, that is, striped, spotted, mottled, or dark in color in regards to the sheep, as a commission of wages. And therefore, he basically proposes a business based on commission only from his uncle, and there was no upfront money, no loan needed to be done, etc. And in turn, Laban would have the privilege of Jacob continuing to manage his herds for him, of which he saw over 14 years a great explosion in regards to reproduction and his wealth in that livestock area of his life. And in that proposal, Jacob himself offered to go through the herds and call out from them all these striped ones, etc., so that there would be nothing but solid color animals to begin with, if you will, even swaying the odds greater in Laban's favor. As I brought out, it has been projected that the types of off-colored animals out of the goat and sheep herds are usually around 20% or less in regards to those that are reproduced and born. That is not the dominant gene in regards to these animals. Obviously, you have selective breeding and things of this nature that go on today. They can mess things up pretty good for you. But anyway, in general and over history. And therefore, it was to Laban a win-win situation. And he probably couldn't believe what he was listening to, what he was hearing from Jacob's mouth. And then he agrees to it. He jumps on that bandwagon. He's rolling the dice on this one for sure. And we saw in turn, rather than letting Jacob go out and call out the animals as he proposed to do so, he took it upon himself, Laban did, to go out, and he ensured that there would be no advantage given to Jacob whatsoever. And it also shows that he did not trust Jacob in regards to going out and making sure that everything was squared away and fair in regards to setting up this whole scenario for the situation to be initiated and then revolve around over time. And he gave the variegated flock that he culled out of the main herd to his sons. Obviously, he could trust his sons because his money, Sue money, their money, not yours, but theirs. And obviously, this would mean their inheritance as their father might pass on in years later. And obviously, there you see how the SGA basically caters to other SGA likes. He can trust them because it's their money, too. Greed serves greed. They represent basically their father in the monetary reversionistic area of their spiritual life. Now, after they are called out in this regards, that's called C-U-L-L-E-D, the herds, in verses 37 through 43, we see an unusual tactic that Jacob employs here that ultimately ends in immense prosperity for him. And you go through these verses, you can look at the commentaries, you have all kinds of opinions on these. But we'll go through it, we'll do the best we can here. I title verses 37 through 43 here, Jacob's Tact to Prosperity. The tactics that he uses, if you will, look at in terms of business tactics in that respect. All right, looking here at the Hebrew. Verse 37. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to take here is a count perfect third masculine singular, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. For his use, for him, preposition lamed with the third masculine singular suffix. Proper noun Jacob, and then our noun for rod or staff, obviously fairly straight sticks, limbs, if you will, in view here. You had a common masculine singular noun construct, Makel, M-A-Q-Q-E-L. A rod of or a staff, however one may look at it. A post could be another vision here. From three different trees here. First, the poplar tree. You had a common masculine singular noun absolute, Libene, L-I-B-E-N-E-H. And the sticks were new. They were green, if you will. They were not dead twigs or limbs hanging off of that. That is the emphasis of the adjective that follows the masculine singular absolute, lach, L-A-C-H. Took rods or sticks of a poplar tree, a fresh one or a new one, lach. And then the second tree, wow, conjunction, you had a common masculine singular noun absolute, luz, L-U-Z, translated almond tree. And wow, conjunction. And then the common masculine singular noun absolute, here translated plane tree, is Eremon, E-R-E-M-O-N. Plane tree. And then after he cut these branches off, he peeled white stripes and then exposing the white which was in the rods. So you have the wow consecutive, and our verb to peel here is a PL imperfect third masculine singular, but saw, P-H-A-T-S-A-L. Peeled in them or on them, preposition bet with the third feminine plural suffix, B-E-T. And then our word for stripes here, or strips, as you may see it here, common feminine plural noun absolute, petsala, P-E-T-S-A-L-A-H. Literally white ones, adjective feminine plural absolute, our word Laban, Laban, L-A-B-A-N. Exposing the white which was in the rods. Exposing is our common masculine singular construct noun Makasoth, Makasoth, M-A-C-H-E-S-O-P-H, Makasoth. Exposing, stripping bare down to the meat underneath the skin, a definite article, adjective, masculine singular, absolute, again, Laban, repeated, which was upon the rods. You had the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R, a preposition, all, A-L, upon or in the rods to expose, the idea is expose the meat underneath the bark. Definite article, and in our now, Makel again, M-A-Q-Q-E-L, common masculine plural absolute. 38, I've revised it a little bit to put it more in line with the Hebrew. And he set the rods which he had peeled in the gutters. I left out there in the phrase in the New American Standard, in front of the flocks, that comes in the second part of the verse. But anyway, vowel consecutive, then our verb to set or place is a hifil, causative, imperfect third masculine singular, tatsag, T-A-T-S-A-G. The rods, you have the sign of the direct object to know what he set, definite article, then makel, the noun, common masculine plural, repeated, absolute. Which, relative pronoun, a share, repeated. He had peeled, again, our verb to peel is the P-L, perfect third masculine singular, fatsal, fatsal, P-H-A-T-S-A-L. In the gutters is what's translated. You have the preposition bet, in. Then our word translated gutters, is a common masculine plural absolute, Rahath, R-A-H-A-T-H, troughs, gutters, what you're looking at is irrigation, probably irrigation ditches that were utilized for animals to also drink out of, as well as irrigating the land. In the gutters, then continuing here, even in the watering troughs, the New American Standard recognizes that the gutters and watering troughs are essentially one and the same in their function or use here in the context to water the animals. In the watering troughs, you have the preposition bet, common feminine plural construct, shoketh, S-H-O-Q-E-T-H. Irrigation troughs of water. Here you have the noun for water with the definite article, common masculine plural absolute, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. Where is the relative pronoun asher? Transliterate. To which, literally, they came to drink. They came to is the cow perfect third feminine plural verb bo, B-O. That being the flocks doing the drinking, definite article, are noun tason, T-S-O-N, common both singular absolute. To drink, you have the preposition lamed here with a cow infinitive construct, a shatha, S-H-A-T-H-A-H. And then here is the phrase in the Hebrew, in front of the flocks, is inserted here at this point. In front of is the preposition lamed, followed with the preposition nokach, N-O-K-A-C-H. The flocks, again, tason with the definite article, common both singular absolute. And they made it when they came to drink. You have the wow consecutive. Then our verb translated made it is a cow, imperfect third feminine plural, yakam, Y-A-C-H-A-M. Literally, this word means to be hot. Hence, when they were in heat, the females in heat. Translated mated is the idea here. Then you have the preposition bet, followed with the verb cow infinitive construct with the third feminine plural suffix bo, again, B-O, when they came to drink. So they would get frisky when they came and had water, to put it politely. Came to drink, again, our preposition lamed here with the cow infinitive construct shathah, S-H-T-A-H. Verse 39, so he take these limbs, these rods, staffs, peel them so that they were striped, they were mottled looking, and place them down in the areas where they came to drink in the irrigation ditches, the watering troughs. 39, so the mates mated, so the flocks, excuse me, mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. You have the wow consecutive, again, our verb translated mated, yakam, Y-A-C-H-A-M, cow perfect third masculine plural. When they were aroused as animals, the flocks, definite article, common both singular absolute noun, tason, T-S-O-N. by the rods, or to the rods attracted in this regard is preposition L, E-L, is the idea given, E-L, followed with our noun with the definite article, common masculine plural, makel, M-A-Q-Q-E-L. And the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. You have first the verb to give birth, translator brought forth, cal in perfect third feminine plural, our verb yalad, y-a-l-a-d, used both humans and animals giving birth. The flocks, again, definite article, followed with the noun to sown. And then the variegated colored animals that are brought forth, again, the striped ones is the adjective. The first two are both adjectives, masculine, plural, absolute, a code, A-Q-O-D, the striped ones. Then speckled ones, adjective, masculine, plural, not code, N-A-Q-O-D. And then the ones being spotted, that has a vowel conjunction, and it's in the cal passive participle form, masculine, plural, tala, T-A-L-A-H, those being spotted. Use such and titly there. Verse 40. And Jacob, so obviously there you're looking more at the goats that are multicolored in that regards. And then the sheep, verse 40, and Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the stripe and all the block and all the black in the flock of Laban. Wow, conjunction, definite article. Our verb, our noun, excuse me, common masculine plural absolute for lambs or sheep is kesev, K-E-S-E-B. Our verb to separate is the hifil perfect form of the third masculine singer, farad, P-H-A-R-A-D. Separated, divided, proper noun, Jacob. Then you had a wow consecutive followed with a cow and perfect third masculine singer verb, nathan. N-A-T-H-A-N, or Nathan, and he gave literally their faces. You have the common both plural construct, our noun for face, paneh, P-A-N-E-H, in the presence of, hence they faced him as the New American pictures it here. The flocks, definite article, followed with our noun to sown again, common both singular absolute. And here he faced them towards the stripe. Preposition L, E-L. Again, our word, our adjective for stripe, a code, A-Q-O-D. And then for the sheep, the dark ones, the dark colored ones, vowel conjunction, noun, common masculine singular construct, cold, each, or all of, collective singular, black ones, adjective, masculine singular, absolute, chum, C-H-U-M, in the flock of Laban. So he's in the main herd here that he's doing this, engaged in this activity. Preposition bet, to sown, noun repeated, the flock of, proper noun, Laban. And he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. So the dividing of the offspring according to the terms agreed upon. While consecutive, our verb to put here is a cow in perfect third masculine singular sheath, S-H-I-Y-T-H. For him, literally preposition lama with third masculine singular suffix, ones belonging to him. Our noun, our herds here is a common masculine plural absolute eater or eder, E-D-E-R. Then we had the preposition lamed, followed with the common masculine singular noun construct with the third masculine singular suffix bod. P-A-D, and he put for him the herds for itself in their divided form, apart or alone, literally, by themselves, set them off by themselves, and did not put them with Laban's flock, while conjunction, followed with the negative particle lo, L-O, put again sheath, S-H-I-Y-T-H. Here is a cow, perfect third masculine singer with third masculine plural suffix. Next to the flocks of Laban, anywhere close to the main herd, preposition all, A-L. Common bow singer constructs a sown flocks, Laban proper noun. Verse 41. Moreover, it came about whenever the stronger of the flock were mating. While consecutive, to come about, as it might come to pass, as it came to pass, is the cow perfect third masculine singer, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. And then you have the preposition bet, followed with a common masculine singer, construct kol, bet plus kol, with, followed with the PL infinitive, construct our verb, again, translated mating, the PL infinitive construct yakam, Y-A-C-H-A-M. When any were mating of the flock, definite article to sown, common both singular absolute. Then you had the definite article and the phrase is stronger is in the puel form of the participle feminine plural absolute, kashar. Q-A-S-H-A-R. Literally, that means to bind. Those being stronger. When any were mating of the flock, the ones being stronger, that Jacob would place the rods in the side of the flock in the gutters so that they might mate by the rods. So he used a rod technique in this case. You have the wow consecutive, again our verb put, cow, perfect, third masculine singer, seeth, put or place, Jacob, proper noun, sign of direct object, rods, definite article, makel, common masculine plural absolute, in the side of the flock, you have the preposition lamed, followed with the common both dual construct noun, our word for eyes, I-N-A-Y-I-N. Hence the sight of the flock, definite article, to sown, common both singular noun, in the gutters or in the troughs of water, preposition bet, followed with the common masculine plural noun, absolute, rahath, R-A-H-A-T-H, so that they might mate by the rods, in order to, is the idea here, preposition lamed with the PL infinitive construct yakam again, Y-A-C-H-A-M, by the rods, preposition bet, definite article, then our noun, makel, repeated, common masculine plural absolute. On the other end of the coin, verse 42, when the flock was feeble, he did not put them in. He left the rods, he stripped rods or branches out. You have the wow conjunction, preposition bet, with the verb hifil infinitive construct athaf, our word for feeble, feeble, A-T-H-A-P-H, feeble, the flock, definite article, to sown, common both singular noun, absolute. He did not put, is the negative particle lo, L-O, plus the verb again to put, seem, cow, imperfect third masculine singer, S-I-Y-M. Then you had the wow consecutive with the cow, perfect third masculine singer verb, haya, H-A-Y-A. H-A-Y-A-H. The idea is so it might come to pass, it might become a different, in a certain state. Definite article, then the common masculine plural absolute, again, athuf. Here is the noun from athoth, the verb, feebler, A-T-H-U-P-H, cognate. literally means turn aside, that is, less desirable of the flock, is the idea being presented for Laban. So the feebler were four Labans. Preposition Lamed, follow proper noun, Laban. And the stronger Jacobs, vowel conjunction. Those being stronger, literally, definite article with a cow, passive participle, masculine plural, absolute, kashar, Q-A-S-H-A-R, for preposition Lamed, Jacob. And verse 43. So the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. Well, consecutive. Then our verb to be prosperous is the cow imperfect third masculine singular farats, P-H-A-R-A-T-S. Again, that word means to break through or burst. So his prosperity seemed to be pictured exploding exponentially almost in regards to the outcome. We saw that back in verse 30 in contrast to or the result that Jacob had in regards to Laban's herds. And he prospered. Definite article followed with a definite article and a noun for man, comma, masculine singular, ish, I-S-H, which kind of weird to all of a sudden refer to Jacob as the man, a man. And prosperous wasn't just a little prosperity. You have extremely emphatic, a superlative, if you will, in the Hebrew. You have the adverb meod, M-E-O-D, repeated twice. Meod, meod. The man exceptionally, exceedingly prosperous. So we might say he had a few bucks in his belt. He's in the top 10%. He made Forbes that year. And had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. Wow, consecutive, followed with our verb to come to pass, or became cow, perfect third master singer again, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, for him, preposition Lama, third master singer suffix. Then our word for flocks again is a noun tison, T-S-O-N, a common both singer absolute, followed with our adjective for many, hence the herds we would say were large herds or flocks, excuse me. That's adjective feminine plural rav, R-A-B. Well, conjunction, then our noun for female servants that we've seen in the past, shifaka, common feminine plural absolute, S-H-I-P-H-E-C-H-A-H. Well, conjunction, then male servants is our noun aved, common masculine plural absolute, E-B-E-D. And then camels and donkeys. Wow, conjunction. A noun for camels, which we've dealt with in the past. You own camels. You had your limo service. You had your transportation set up for travel. He would need these larger animals for packing things. Donkeys, obviously, utilized for the same thing. And for their transportation, gamal, G-A-M-A-L, common masculine plural absolute, vowel conjunction. Then our noun for donkeys is a common masculine plural absolute, chamor, C-H-A-M-O-R. All right, rereading the verses here. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods. Verse 38, as we've revised it to a little bit, and he set the rods which he had peeled in the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, in front of the flocks. And they mated when they came to drink. 39, so the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Verse 40, and Jacob separated or divided the lambs and made the flocks face toward the stripe, and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own herds apart, and he did not put them with Laban's flock. 41. Moreover, it came about when the stronger of the flock were mating, that Jacob would place the rods in the side of the flock in the gutters, so that they might mate by the rods. In verse 42, but when the flock was feeble, those engaged in the copulation, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Verse 43, so the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. Now says the verses 37 through 43. One, various suppositions exist regarding Jacob's actions now here in verses 37 through 42. Everybody seems to have an opinion on these verses. And they propose certain things. Some things you can fairly stay in line with. But a lot of it is really supposition. Two, that he is engaging in mysticism and sin is a favorite among interpreters. One way that is approached that Jacob's actions now is nothing more than being mystic. Some voodoo style, an attempt to try to get things to go his way. That he completely eliminates God, omits God in regards to the equation of his business in this respect. And he's engaged in sin activity in that respect. So that's a favorite among interpreters. Three, that he had schemed against Laban, resting on a little-known secret of genetic manipulation as his, quote, ace in the hole, end quote, is further advanced. That is proposed by some commentaries. That this whole deal, Jacob in going to business for himself, was a scheme. And that he had this trick up his sleeve from his years of expertise being out there in the field, that this thing really does work. And he's going to take, now he's going to take his uncle to the bank, if you will, and put him in the poorhouse overall. So that's another one that is presented and forwarded. But quite honestly, that doesn't make sense to me because if it was a scheme, it must have come up awful quick when he approached his uncle because he was ready to go home to begin with. It's just simply after the proposal, and he thought about it a little bit. You know, I am walking off with nothing but my family and the clothes on our back, basically, and the food to get us home on. It would be nice to have, you know, some prosperity, some assets, a savings account, if you will, to take with me. And hence an opportunity, okay, I'll go into business for myself here. So just looking at these things, certain things, just some suppositions carry a little bit more weight or less weight because of subtleties otherwise that have been brought out. So the reality is for the text itself, is silent to these matters, omitting critique, simply exposing the ultimate outcome in verse 43, the end of this block of verses, that Jacob became, quote, exceedingly prosperous. There is no condemnation, neither is there any pat on the back from the text. It just simply states it straightforward. This is what Jacob did. And then at the end of all, he walked out a very wealthy man. So that's what we had to work with. So five, why Jacob employed these tactics concerning breeding practices among the flocks of goats and sheep can safely be attributed to a practice of his day. This was not a foreign theory that was advanced upon by historical sheep herders, goat herders, etc. This system of visual manipulation or influence in regards to the colors of these animals being reproduced. So you can look through the history of the isagogies in regards to this point in time, and most commentators across the board recognize it was a practice that was not uncommon, I'll put it that way. So one thing that you can safely assume is that well, he's seen this happen. Maybe he'd utilized it a little bit before. Who knows? But it was a practice that others had engaged in. And he's going to take it upon himself to attempt the same thing. So six, where I'm coming from on this is to attribute sin in any particular scheming on Jacob's part is only opinion. It's not textually endorsed. Now, I don't mind ragging when ragging's due. I have fun in that part of the text as well as the good things in text. There are those out there that really slam dunk Jacob here, and I don't see grounds to do that in regards to the text in and of itself. I'm not saying that he's not without fault by any stretch of imagination. But that somehow he's kind of gone off his rocker here. And like I said, has gone into the arts, the mystic arts, to try to make these things work, to delve that deep into this thing. Or that he's scheming, that there was some big scheme, some plan that he had. I'm not buying into it in particular. Seven, there is nothing wrong for a believer to engage in business practices thought to enhance productivity as long as they are legal and do not omit God from the equation. Different professions, there are, if you will, trade secrets. You've been in business long enough, you recognize there are certain trade secrets that some people have. And they employ different tactics, etc., that they think to be successful. It may be theory. It may be practical. It just depends, see. And because it may seem odd to us, the fact that our herders were utilizing this in history, you know, even if it was really kind of out to lunch, there probably was some kernel of truth that at least was perceived to be involved in this practice. And for him to go in and do what he can do, because he obviously has proposed a fairly fantastic proposal in regards to Laban, that he's going to take solid-colored animals and he is only going to accumulate for himself the variegated offspring off of that. He's going to utilize what practice he thinks he has and can utilize to advance himself. That's where I clearly see it. And that approach, there's nothing wrong with that. You do your business the best you can, the way you've been trained. And again, like I said, if there are certain trade secrets, certain theories that seem maybe have worked in the past for some, etc., different approaches, those things in and of themselves are not sinful. But what is and what really burns someone is the fact that when you do utilize these things, you omit God from the dealings overall. Compare like to maybe some medical practices, etc. You know, some people prefer certain types of medicines, certain types of doctors over certain other types of doctors, chiropractors, or whatever. You know, and some it seems that some it works for some, others they have more success on it. But the thing is, are they praying about it? The thing is, are they looking to God to bless them? In their way, and what is occurring in regards to their part, see. That's the issue. God wants us to take everything to Him. And while we are left to our own physical capabilities in regards to trying to make things work in life, the important thing is to always include God and recognize He's in control of the circumstances and situations. See? So, obviously, God is not going to call upon someone to compromise His word otherwise. Prayer is a big thing. Trust in God. Faith rest. All these things are part of the formula in regards to approach in life and seeking to do things right and finding success. So, as far as Jacob goes, in contrast to this, point 8, Jacob clearly attributed to Yahweh the previous financial success at the hand of his expertise back in verse 30. He just slam dunked on his, if you will, uncle, his proclamation that Yahweh had prospered him at the hands of Jacob. And he put it in straightforward terms. Yeah, he did. It was Yahweh that prospered him. It was God, see. And now, commentators want to say, all right, now all of a sudden, he's going to go back to this other direction. Well, I'm not saying that's not possible. Sure it is. We've seen his wives, Leah, seem to kind of go from one end to another. But when you put it all together, can you validate it? With Leah, you can validate it. I can't find a complete validation here in that regards. Then 9, in addition to that, later he further and clearly recognizes that Yahweh was the source of all his present endeavors, as we will get into chapter 31, 6 and following. As he appeals to his wives to leave under the radar, so to speak, and you know that I've served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. Yeah. So, sandwiching the situation. You see a Jacob is relatively oriented, to a certain degree at least, into God's hand being in these things. That's all I'm saying. It takes a lot to say a little thing sometimes. You can talk to God, the Holy Spirit, on that. He puts these thoughts in my mind, so. If he's not, then we're all in trouble. So 10, to attribute the energy of the flesh to Jacob, no matter how foreign the employed practice is to us today, sidesteps here the real issue at hand. All that's really a distraction. What's the real issue? And that's 11, that is, Jacob entered into this enterprise with the confidence that God would be with him and bless whatever means he might employ otherwise, which he, God, does. You look at it just in its clearest, simplest form, the block of verses. He accredited God for his prosperity to begin with, his success to begin with. He engages it in practice, and the passage simply says, God blessed the hell out of him. Immensely. So I see, from my perspective, continued orientation on Jacob's part. Again, I'm not saying that he has his act completely together here. But on the other end of the coin, I'm not willing to throw the gauntlet down and accuse him of gross mysticism. See, on the other end of the coin. So 12 is taking a look at the technique that he uses here. 12, the breeding technique Jacob utilizes is based on an assumption here that animals, particularly sheep, are susceptible to various prenatal influences. Here, in a visual way. That somehow you can influence the animal in their gene reproductivity. It's a theory, basically, that they're going upon. And there are different practices that people operate on theory until maybe it's completely shut down, it's completely bogus, or for a while it seems to work. So 13, now there are those that state that as far as they know, there is no evidence that prenatal influence determines the color of sheep and goats. So looking at these striped, spotted branches has any way influenced the reproductive results in regards to these animals. 14, yet here the Bible clearly teaches that Jacob was successful in his endeavors. Well, what can you say? I say either God's hand's in something or it's not. It's not. Fifteen, the verses here are designed to teach that God ultimately blesses the believer. The believer's responsibility is simply to do their work as unto the Lord. Again, there's nothing wrong in learning the profession, the ins and outs, certain trade secrets, tricks to the trade, things of this nature. But to rely simply on the intellectual expertise in regards to a person for one's blessing in life is a fallacious approach, at least in terms of Bible doctrine and serving God. Either you really believe God is in control of circumstances, God will bless you at His perfect timing, or you do not. And obviously, our exercise is to try to maintain that proper balance in life, where we continue to look to God to bless us, to guide us, to direct us, etc. And at the same time, utilize what physical or intellectual capabilities that we have available to us to our advantage in advancing ourselves, whatever we're pursuing. The proper adjusted believer, while they are shrewd, as they need to be in regards to dealing with the world, they also include God in all that they do. They look to God to bless or not, recognizing He may test in certain areas. If anything, this story teaches you that it doesn't make any difference what kind of advantage the world may think it has. These things don't trip up God. If He wants to bless you, He'll bless you. He'll bless you immensely. He'll dump on you in a good way, if that's what He chooses to do. So again, obviously this is not on the other end of the coin. The other idiot factor is, well, I'm not going to do anything then and just let God bring it. No. We see Jacob doing something here. He's working to the best of his ability to have the best possibility for these things to come about in his eyes, what he knows physically, etc., in this respect. But at the same time, God's hand needs to be in it for all these things to come together. Again, how many times I said it and how many more times I'll say it before we're out of here, one way or the other, pray about everything. Everything you put your hand to. Don't be shy with God. He's there. He wants to hear you. See? And you may be surprised how much smoother things do go in life, how much more successful one may be. That approach their life in such a manner. Then the other end of the coin, maybe I ought to sit back and think, and you say, well, I've been doing that for forever. Well, you might want to think what kind of test you've been under if you hadn't been. Maybe that would have been your niche otherwise. So, anyway. Father, again, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.